From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel in Washington.
And I'm Melissa Block, reporting this week from Brazil. I'm in Rio de Janeiro, that vibrant, pulsing city of about 6 million people, famous for its beaches, its samba. I'm joined here by our South America correspondent, Lourdes Garcia Navarro. And Lulu, when I say here, right now, I mean here in a bright red cable car. We are dangling high up above Rio de Janeiro.
We certainly are. This is a cable car that's taking us to one of the favelas, the shanty towns of Rio. Actually, we're going to a complex of favelas called Complexo de Alemão. There are about 85,000 people who live here.
And Lulu, let's explain this cable car idea. The favelas here in Rio are built onto the sides of hillsides. Looking all around, we see these houses, these shanties stacked one on top of the other. A lot of the favelas here, right, are known for really horrific levels of violent crime. They're ruled by drug traffickers and gangs. So explain what the idea is now with this new cable car system.
This was built a few years ago after a process called pacification happened. Basically, the state government decided before the mega events that Rio is hosting, the World Cup, the Olympics, that they needed to tackle what was happening inside the favelas like this one, just here. So they decided that in certain favelas, they would send in pacification police units who would reside full-time in the area. Before, they used to send in a sort of shock troops to battle the gangs, and then they'd pull out. In many of these places, this is the first sign of government presence they've ever had. And along with that, they promised infrastructure projects like this one, this cable car.
And it's a wacky thing to see, Lulu, because these cable cars wouldn't be out of place on a mountain in Vail or Aspen, Colorado. But looking down, we're seeing the poorest parts of Rio, right? We're seeing slums.
A lot of the people that live here, it's a mixed community. It's predominantly Black, certainly among the poorer members of society, but it also has people from the lower middle classes. This is a working poor neighborhood. And so some statistics say that 90% of young people here have internet, for example. This is a plugged-in community. There are human rights organizations, there are architectural firms, there are all sorts of things happening in a community of this size. But it is extremely important that they now have access to something as fundamental as transportation, and this is what this cable car is all about.
Part of the problem is we look around at these hillsides, Lulu, is it would be really hard for people who live up here in these favelas on these hills to get around.
Well, just look out the window right now. What we're seeing is crowded houses crawling up these hillsides. Normally, the way people get around in these areas is by motorcycle because the roads are so narrow. Most people have to walk to get there. So it really is extremely difficult to get around. But beyond transportation, these were areas that were completely marginalized from the main heartbeat of the city. They weren't connected to electricity. They did not have garbage collection, water. And so part of the pacification process is trying to bring these people into the community in real ways by providing services. Oh, one of the interesting things, look, we're seeing right now the pacification police.
Oh, yeah.
You see them patrolling on foot, and that's one of the things that they really, really do. They get out onto the streets, they make their presence felt, they know the people here, and that was the idea behind bringing these people into mainstream Rio.
Okay, so they're wishing us a good trip on this cable car. There are six stations on this. We've been bouncing through each of them as they connect these hillside shanty towns. We're going to get out, Lulu, and look around at this favela.
We are.
Okay, Lulu, we just saw those police officers on the streets of the favela from the cable car. Now we're out on the street. We're actually standing right in front of the pacification police station. Has that program worked in the favelas?
Well, I mean, the very fact that we're standing here now, what was one of the most dangerous favelas in Rio, I think speaks to the fact that, yes, it has had some success. But let me put it into context for you. An NGO recently claimed that in the past decade, 10,000 people have been killed or disappeared by the police in Rio. And that is exactly what favela residents complain about with the pacification police. They say, you've actually put people in our neighborhood that are killers, i.e. the police. You have the case of Amarillo de Souza, and that's gotten a lot of attention here. He was 47, a longtime resident of a different favela, a bricklayer, a father, not known for any connection to the drug trafficking. He was picked up by the police several months ago and hasn't been seen since. And so it speaks to the fact that it really has been a mixed bag.
And a lot of people talk about that case of Amarildo. He's become a name. He's become a name everybody here knows.
He's become a rallying cry in many ways. And also, it's really put the spotlight into many of the complexities that come with trying to bring many of these favelas into the realm of public security.
Okay, we've been focusing on the violent side of the favelas, but Lulu, these are also a really rich source of popular culture in Brazil, right?
Oh, the favelas are alive in popular culture. They live in the imagination of Brazilians. We recently had our first telenovela or soap opera set right here in Alemão. But beyond this, this is a place where music and dance infuses the Brazilian culture. Take Passinho, which is a sort of cross between breakdancing and capoeira. It's really physical, and it's flourished after the pacification units have come in. You used to have sort of dancing here, a baile funky that was much more sexualized. In Passinho, the kids dance it. It's just much more athletic, and it's really taken off not only from here, but around the country.
Well, Lulu, thanks for our guided tour of the favelas today.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro. And the end of our favela visit brings us now to our word of the day. We've been highlighting words that are in the popular culture of Brazil, words that say something about the Brazilian way of life. And today we're going to learn some words that are really common in the favela culture. We're going to learn them from a vendor who's selling little painted tiles here. His name is Varner Umbelino. Bom dia.
Bom dia.
We're asking you for a word that symbolizes or says something about culture and life in the favelas. What's a word that you would think of?
171. 171. 171.
171. And what does 171 mean?
Uma pessoa que gosta de mentir.
A person who likes to lie.
Why is a person who lies called a 171?
Porque, por exemplo, ele pode falar...
For example, he could say, I traveled to the United States, I traveled to Europe, but he's never left Brazil. He's a 171. He lies.
But why this number? Why is it a 171?
É um artigo criminal esse daí que virou gíria. Muitos artigos criminais viraram gíria. 13 é uma pessoa meia louca.
So you're saying it's part of the criminal code that fraud in the criminal code would be 171. Somebody who's crazy would be a 13, also from the criminal code. Somebody who's crazy, a 13. You just call them, he's a 13.
É, 13.
Are there any other numbers that come up in conversation that come from the criminal code?
Qual é? 157. 157 é quando rouba e mata.
So you're saying that the number 157 would stand for somebody who robs and kills in the criminal code. You'd say he's a 157.
Yes.
Well, Senora Warner, thanks so much for helping us out with our words of the day today.
Obrigado.
That's our co-host, Melissa Bloch, who is reporting this week from Brazil.